You are listening to Mike Seminary and Friends,
a Q1 Network production.
If you have dreams or you're wondering how to make a bigger impact in this world, you're home. Welcome to Mike Seminary and Friends. I'm Deb, Mike's wife. I suggested this idea as a way to keep him busy and out of my way after he retired. So far, it's working. Thanks for listening. It's time for Mike Seminary and Friends.
Howdy, and welcome to Mike Seminary and Friends, the place where we strive to make a difference, a positive difference, move the needle, provide you something of value, at least in my opinion. I'm your host, Mike Seminary, and I'm so glad you've joined us. Thank you for listening, and particularly I want to thank you for providing comments. I appreciate your input and value your comments and suggestions you've provided for guests. Please feel free to do that anytime. You can comment and suggest guests by going to MikeSeminary.com or on Facebook at Mike Seminary and Friends. By the way, my theme music is from my friend David Hansen. That particular tune is Continental Drift. You can find it on iTunes under Serotonin Waters, Moon.Soup, and David Hansen, Volume 1. Well, I'm just tickled to have as my guest today a fellow lover of music, a fellow percussionist, I'm really a drummer, a fourth-generation family business owner and chief sales officer of Swanston Equipment Companies, and a quiet leader that listens first, my friend Molly Swanston. Molly, welcome to Mike Seminary and Friends.
Thank you, Mike. I'm just tickled to be here.
It's great to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you too.
You know, I suppose when people are listening to these kind of things, they're wondering why I say it's great to see you. Just so you know, with technology today, when we set up these types of shows or podcasts, we have the ability to see each other. At some point in time, we may actually push video out. For now, I'm comfortable with just audio because most people really don't want to look at my mug anyway. Right, Molly?
That's not true. You're too hard on yourself. Come on.
So, Swanston Equipment Companies. Mm-hmm. I know your father a little bit. I knew your grandfather a little bit when I was in Fargo, prolific golfer.
Yep.
And obviously know the company heritage. Just to kind of a quick rundown of what you're currently doing, we're going to come back to that. How long have you been involved with the company Swanston? And how have you progressed in your growth, because we're talking about that too, sure, to be owner and chief sales officer?
Well, I've been working at the company for almost 5 years now. And when I started, it was at the front desk, answering the phone. That's, my father was adamant that that's where we started. And from there, I mean, I kind of jumped around different departments in the company. I worked in the rental department for a while underneath our rental manager. I worked in the service department as our service writer for about 6 months. And for the last 2 years, I've been really shadowing John Satry in our office. He's our VP of heavy equipment. And it's just been important for me and for my dad that I kind of stick with mentors throughout the company and learn from them. He said he didn't want me to pick up any of his bad habits. So it was a really good experience for me. And, you know, my dad's been, he was working in the company for like 40 years and it's his life. And, you know, before coming to work at Swanston Equipment, I was working in the beer industry. I really had no intention of being a part of Swanston Equipment growing up, but, when he started thinking about retirement and his succession plan, you know, he gave me the opportunity to come back and see if it would work. And miraculously it has so far. We brought in a consultant who really helped us get things organized and move things along. And in September of 2020, September 18th, is when we signed the documents, and I became the owner of Swanston Equipment, which is just crazy. But we have a really outstanding leadership team here, and the people have made it possible for me to do it. So I'm just, it's crazy to think about, honestly.
Well, thanks for that brief overview.
Yeah.
In the notes that you sent to me, I picked up on this. You're really a balanced person with perspective that most people work hard to try to get to. And I said to myself, this is a real seasoned, mature person, far beyond her youth, because you're, compared to me and your dad, you're awfully young, right?
Not anymore. I'm in my 30s now, Mike. It's just,
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And as I read how you were pursuing your career and responsibilities, that's the key word for me, responsibilities. Mm-hmm. I picked up on how you really value listening, mentorship, learning, this quiet type of leader. And that screamed to me, gosh, here's a young person. I'm going to keep calling you that. Here's a young person that this wasn't given to him. You know, a lot of people think because a person's last name is on the shingle or on the building or on the signs, or on the billboards, on the ads, that's an automatic thing. Mm-hmm. It isn't. It isn't, because you have to prove yourself, not just to your dad,
right,
but the people that were there before you. So how did that kind of work from the beginning to now?
Yeah, I think it was like my dad's biggest fear of that perception of him just handing it off. I mean, and that certainly wasn't the case for him either with his father and his transition, because he was third generation. I'm fourth, like you said. And understanding, being a practitioner in the business is incredibly important. And I think something I've learned from my parents is that self-awareness is really powerful, and it's okay to understand your strengths and your weaknesses and to vocalize those and make those who are around you aware that you're comfortable in your weakness. And when I started at Swanston Equipment, I knew nothing about equipment. I mean, it's just, I really didn't grow up kind of in the office all the time around bobcats or asphalt pavers. I mean, when we were on vacation and on a road trip, my dad would always pull over at job sites or point things out, but I really didn't have the language, and I'm still learning that language today. There is just so much in this industry to get a grasp on, and that's what's so important with the people that we have here are so tenured, and it's really them who opened the door for me. They were open enough to say, listen, she's going to come in and she's willing to learn. And I think that gave them comfort, you know? It wasn't me coming in faking it. I came in with, I want to learn how to do it just to see if it can work. Because if it's not going to work, I really enjoy having fun in my daily life. And if I wasn't going to have fun doing this, it'd be miserable. And so it's been a process, and it's still a process today.
You know, I'm going to go back to taking inventory, personal inventory, weaknesses and strengths in a little bit. But you just teed up something for me, because, you know, I have a little bit of attention deficit. And so, I can go all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm just way off, you can just bring me back, okay? So you said something that I was going to somewhat emphasize in the introduction, but I thought I'd leave it to how will it by grassroots sort of take us into the discussion? So a woman in really a man's field, and one of the things that I've admired about you is, and for the sake of listeners, we don't know each other really well. We've only interacted face to face, I think, once.
Right. Yep.
Except for me, this would technically be two, I guess.
Yep.
And then through Facebook, which has blessings and curses, we've gotten to know each other. And I've just been a follower of Molly, right? So Swanson Equipment Company is in the heavy equipment business. Kind of explain exactly what Swanson does.
Sure. So we are an equipment dealer, and we sell, service, rent, and provide parts to a number of different equipment lines. But our bread and butter, we are a Bobcat dealer. We were one of the first Bobcat dealers. Bobcat is a homegrown North Dakota name, and we're very fortunate to be a dealer for them here locally. So they're a big portion of our business, and we have three locations that are all Bobcat dealers. But we also focus a lot in the road building process. So anything that has to do with asphalt paving, concrete paving, compaction, maintenance products for roads, that's really what we specialize in and pride ourselves in. And yeah, we've grown significantly in just the last... My dad really took this company to an amazing place, and you know, we still consider ourselves a small family business, but I'm really proud of where we are and what we do. We just had a big dealer meeting with Bobcat yesterday, and left just feeling super excited about the future and where we're going. And yeah, the equipment dealership world is where we're in, and we're all about taking care of the customers and building.
So that road construction piece, the asphalt, concrete, the northern improvements of the world.
Yeah.
Those are some of your clients, right?
Those are some of our clients. Those are some of our best friends.
Yeah.
The history that goes back with a lot of these contractors in North Dakota, it's just insane. You know, like Molly Barnes and Northern Improvement, her dad and my grandpa go back doing business forever ago. And generationally, it's really fun to do business with people that you're friends with, and you go back a long ways.
So I spoke to Molly today, just so you,
you
know.
Oh,
I did. So like two of my heroes are Molly's, right? So here we are. I'm talking to Molly Swanson in an industry that's just jam-packed with men, right?
Yeah, there are men all over the place here. Yeah. It's crazy.
You know, dealing with our weaknesses and strengths. My dad used to say, make sure you're always taking inventory of yourself.
I like that.
And in the book that I wrote that's still unpublished, one of the chapters deals with, and this, it made me think of this because you talk about your dad, who we have a lot of similarities here. In that book, he said it's really important to take inventory on a regular basis, just like a merchant does, because you have to know what your strengths are and what your limitations are. And one of the reasons it's important is you can continue to build strengths. You can continue to get better at stuff that you excel at or you like. It isn't always a given that you can take limitations and do much with them, because they just sometimes are the way they are. And when you spend too much time focusing on where you have limitations, that's a better word than weaknesses, right? Sometimes you take your eye off of how you can continue to improve with the strengths that you have. Mm-hmm. And when I read the email that you sent to me, that screamed, you do that on a regular basis, don't you?
I try to. I think that's a big part of the balance that you talk about, you know, the self-awareness, the being just mindful of in the moment. A lot of that is like, well, I need to double down on where I can move forward in this situation rather than focus on, yeah, what's holding me back or the limitations. I do think about that a lot. I think that's important. Yeah.
So a little background where we have some similarities. We'll come back to work stuff in a little bit. You didn't necessarily want to go into the family business, into the equipment business. You were a percussionist. You had an interest in beer, craft beer.
Yep.
And so tell us a little bit about that part of your travel and journey.
Sure. Well, I got into music. I've really dabbled in a few different things, but yeah, through high school, I really got into music in general. I started taking percussion lessons from Dr. David Eiler at Concordia and just fell in love with with percussion. And so I ended up going to school at Concordia and was a music major my first 2 years and realized that I didn't want to be like a band teacher, essentially. I didn't see a future in percussion performance. And so I majored in communication studies, which was, I think, just a black hole for people to go into if they didn't know what they were doing. But, you know, and then while I was in college, after I turned 21, of course, I fell in love with beer like a lot of college kids do, and craft beer specifically. I worked at a number of different establishments that were really into craft beer. And I thought, you know, I would see these beer reps come in from different breweries, and I thought, you know, hey, I could do that. I love talking about beer. I love kind of the stories behind craft breweries at the time. It's really blown up, you know, since when I was doing this, but I just really got into the culture of craft beer back then. And I have a cousin that lives, he was living in Michigan, and he worked for a brewery called Lagunitas, very popular brewery.
One of my wife's favorites.
Good. Yeah, I love them too. And he actually heard of a company, a brewery out of Utah, Epic Brewing Company. They were looking for a sales rep to be their Midwest kind of craft beer manager, market manager. And he gave me the lead, and I created kind of a bogus resume, and I just started to bug them until they told me to go to hell or they hired me. And they hired me. It was just the craziest thing. You know, I had no sales experience. I had worked in liquor stores and a bar, and they hired me. I was pretty green, so they got me for a good deal. And I moved out to Michigan and sold beer out there for 4 years. And it was one of the greatest decisions I could have ever made. One of the coolest things. I mean, I learned a lot in that time. And if back to the music thing, I mean, once a musician, always a musician, right? I continue to play on the tabletops and my kneecaps all the time. But yeah, I'm really grateful that I was, you know, offered the opportunity to take lessons and pursue that. My parents were incredibly supportive in both of those areas, you know, the music pursuit. And then once I decided that wasn't my thing, they were supportive of me going on to the next thing.
Yeah, so before I forget, sometime when we can get together as couples, you and Deb will have to talk about craft beers. She loves beer. She just absolutely loves it. When we go out, she wants the whole rundown. What do you have? And she knows this really, really, really well.
I'd love to chat with her about it for sure. I still do dabble in a craft beer here or there. So,
and now she'll get really mad for me just saying that my wife drinks a lot of beer.
Deb, don't get mad at him. It's
fine. No. So a couple of percussionists. Now, for the sake of, you know, our listeners, mm-hmm. I was a drummer. I'm not a percussionist. And that's how I started at sixth grade. And halfway through college, had music in my life. And I was, even though I became the front guy, singing and harmonica, flute, all kinds of things, I always loved drummers. And some of my favorite drummers, by the way, are not men. Like Cindy, what's her name? Cindy Blackman Santana, Carlos Santana's wife, is really an amazing drummer.
Yeah.
In fact, the girls took me to their concert 2 years ago for my 65th. Do I just say that out loud? For my 65th birthday. Them and the Doobie Brothers, they were just amazing. And then I think she pronounces her name Matal Cohen. Just for sake of a conversation, like nobody's listening to us, right?
Yeah.
So she's an Israeli-born person. Mm-hmm. So at 18, when she started to drum, she was a tap dancer before that. She served two years in the Army, Israeli Defense, whatever it's called, then came over to L.A. and went to the L.A. Music Academy, where she excelled as a drummer percussionist. And as I shared with you before we started, anybody that can do Neil Peart, Rush, Tom Sawyer, as good, if not better, I'm in love with them.
Insane.
She's really, She's just insane.
I'm going to have to look her up, though. I'm embarrassed that I don't know who she is. So I'm going to look into that for sure. And that's interesting that, you mentioned some of your favorites are female, because maybe another male dominated, area.
Music is, in a way, has been, right? But some of my favorite stars of all time, Janis Joplin, absolutely loved Janis Joplin. I love Dolly Parton. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love her. I love Meg White, and her husband, Jack. Yeah. I think she's really, really good. A lot of heart. I mean, how can you not like the Wilson sisters, right?
Oh, my gosh, for sure. It made me think of is it okay if I go on a little tangent quick, Mike?
Please.
Yeah, it made me think of when I went to Kindred High School, small town outside of Fargo, North Dakota. And fifth grade is when you get introduced to band. You kind of pick your instrument. And I knew that I wanted to get into percussion or be a drummer, as you would say, for a long time before fifth grade. And so my parents stuck me in piano lessons in preparation, because the piano is a percussion instrument. And so I'd been preparing for this for at least 2 years to be able to be in percussion and band in school. And there was a test that was given out, I think, to all the students. And I scored perfectly on the test and said I picked percussion as my area of interest, but there were like 12 other boys that were so interested as well. And I remember my band teacher kind of said, maybe you should try saxophone first or something. And when I came home and told my mom that, oh my gosh, she lit up and became full-blown mama bear, went into school the next day. She made sure that I was going to be in the percussion section starting in band. And, and that started it off. That was just a fun little story. My mom going to bat for me from the start.
Yeah, and before we move on, I would be absolutely remiss if I didn't mention Sheila E. E is just one of my all-time faves. She's really special.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Absolutely.
Okay, so you the craft beer business to road construction equipment, maintenance, all of that.
Yeah.
When you started in your professional career, your dad was your first mentor. Well, I'm assuming your dad and your mother were both mentors for you, right?
Absolutely.
And they just celebrated their 40th anniversary. I saw you on Facebook the other day. You skipped work. You were out cross country skiing.
That picture was from the weekend before, so
okay.
I wasn't skipping work, but yeah. I did get them out on the trails, and I'm going to be celebrating with them on Saturday.
Say hello to them for me.
I will do that, yeah. 40 years, man.
We'll also talk about Maple Log before we leave. So in addition to your parents, who were some of the first mentors inside of Swanston that you learned a lot from?
First person that comes to mind is Chris Shea, and he's our president right now. He's been working here for 20 years, and he's just, when you think about empathy and someone who's just passionate about the people in our company, he's just one amazing human being. He's a family guy. He loves having fun at work, and he loves to kind of push the needle. We talk about how we always want to stay out of our comfort zone. We want to continue to be uncomfortable and push ourselves. And he's a really great leader in that way. And he's really helping me become a leader, which is like, that's the best thing, is when you can help those other people around you become better leaders as well. So he's been just an incredible mentor for me. Another person here has been John Satry. I think I mentioned him before, but he's worked here almost as long as my dad had worked here. He was hired by my grandfather to be the pilot for the company. And I remember John always tells a story of during the interview, my grandpa asked, "Do you golf, Johnny?" And John said, "No, sir, but if that's what it takes, I'll learn to golf." And he said, "We got too many golfers around here. You're hired." So you became the company pilot and grew into being our vice president of heavy equipment. And he's just, I call him my Sherpa. He's led me up the equipment mountain and continues to do so. He's got customers all over the country that love working with him. And that's really fun when you have customer retention that just come to us because they like doing business with us, you know.
Chris, and your discussion about comfort zones, mm-hmm. I've always believed that no significant growing, personal, typically no significant accomplishments, obviously there can be some, take place without pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. And in fact, generally speaking, if we don't intentionally take ourselves out of our comfort zone, we may get blown out of it.
Right.
Because we're too comfortable.
That's exactly right. I think about that comment and you phrasing it that way is just perfect because it's almost like we try to think about how we can put ourselves out of business. You know, how can we can be the first rather than someone else coming in and blowing our world up, you know, just because we didn't push ourselves. So, yeah, I think these last 5 years, I've become, that's my natural space is being uncomfortable. I've become okay with that because it's been a push, you know, it's hard to feel like I'm surrounded by people that know a ton more about me in every landscape. And if I can just be open to that and feel uncomfortable, that's okay. And it's okay to voice that too.
There's a reason I'm going to ask this question and you'll see in a moment. When did your father officially retire?
September 18th.
Of 2020. So together and with the team, you experienced something the company never had, the pandemic, and how that impacted everything we do, right?
Yeah.
What were some of the impacts your company had to deal with? I mean, other than the social distancing, the masking, all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff, how did that impact your ability to communicate on a regular basis? Because you're the chief salesperson. How did you do that?
Well, are you talking about with customers or internally?
Both.
So COVID, the trajectory we've gotten in our communication style because of COVID, I think is just amazing. It was one of the best things that could have happened for us because it forced us to utilize technology in a way we weren't before. And we started having Microsoft Teams meetings every day. I mean, and we continue to do that today. That's a practice that we've stuck with because our leadership team, it consists of four people, myself, Chris Shea, our CFO, Chad Ogdahl, and our HR and controller director, April Wilson. Every day at 10 o'clock, we hop on a Teams meeting and discuss, you know, where we're moving the needle. And that's been huge. And we've been intentional about our time. That's what COVID has done for us. And it's made us proactive about our time management. And that's, you know, that might sound kind of small scale, really detail oriented, but it's, we've come out of this thing okay. And we're not out of it yet, but I think we've benefited from how COVID has impacted our business. We've had good things come of it, and I'll say that. When it comes to my dad's retirement in the midst of a pandemic, that was almost a blessing because he had to stay out of the office. He was forced. And, that is so crazy to think about that all this happened. You know, 2020 was when ownership changed. We went through a pandemic. We acquired a location, Fergus Falls. Everyone has their own personal things. I mean, it's just been wild for everybody. And I'm so proud of how we've handled it and continue to handle it by just constant. It's over communication is what it is. I'm a big fan of over communicating.
Molly, everything evolves because if you don't, you're in trouble, right?
Yeah.
At one point in my life, I wanted to be in the construction business. I tried like the devil to get employed by Northern Improvement in my high school years. Maybe it's a blessing that I didn't because I also wanted to be a rock and roll guy and it's hard to do both. But yeah. I ended up working for a small patch and street repair company, K&B Construction, Keough and Beaton. And I really fell in love with the kind of work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then those were the days where you'd get together after work and it might be at Mick's office or some other place. And, you know, I think there were nickel draws or something. It didn't take long to become, you know, fairly boisterous, obnoxious,
sure,
and so on and so forth. And boys will be boys kind of, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yep.
And back then, I imagine entering the industry as a female might have been a little different. But even though things change as we grow, there's still some of that old natural kind of biasness that people can have.
Yep.
Did you have to deal with that much during your first 5 years?
I would say never outright. Like, this is kind of a tough space for me because I feel like I've had a really good experience, but I know of others that have not.
Sure.
So I know that the struggle is out there, and you know, I've benefited from the fact that I came into the industry under my father's protection, so to speak, and I think that was a privilege that, you know, other females going into the industry don't have. And that has got to play a huge role in the fact that I felt pretty comfortable from the get-go. But I also came from selling craft beer to mostly men with other men. And so that was good practice, you know? And look, I think there's still a lot of work to do because when I go to functions like at the Association of General Contractors, the AGC, there are more women there now. And we talk about that within the group. But it's all family members, mostly. You know, there's owners of, you know, nepotism plays a role there. And during my time with Swanson Equipment, I really want to make an effort to try to make this a more welcoming place for women to work and people of all backgrounds. You know, I think there's a big problem. You don't see many people of different races in the industry either. It's a lot of old white guys, and I've grown to love a lot of these old white guys, believe me, and I respect the hell out of them and I enjoy working with them, but I think there's room at the table.
Well, it's kind of if I go too far off the rails here, feel free to pull me back.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in time, I worked for a company and we were doing strategic planning, and they're all great people, right?
Yeah.
And the second day of the strategic planning, the first was you talked about the future, what you should be doing, where you should be targeting, and, you know, all that stuff. And we'd take these big white tabs, stick up on the wall with all the stuff that you wrote the day before. And then the second day we're going to go in and for the deep dive and the dig, right?
Sure.
And the consultant says, he's up in the front, he's wringing his hands. He says, oh, boy, it was a great day yesterday. We've got a bright future in front of us. Are there any questions? And like nobody raised their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always the guy, I'm going to kind of wait anyway, right? So I just kind of raised my hand a little bit. And I said, what makes you think we stand a snowball's chance in hell of having this identified? And everybody looks at me. I said, every guy in here is a guy and they're white. Mm-hmm. I said, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. So I only bring that up because what you said is true. We're making some progress. We have a lot of work to do. I'm so proud of AGC, by the way.
Yeah.
Even though there are some family businesses, so what?
Yeah.
We have on that board representation that they're not all guys.
Yep.
Now, most of the national people are all old guys, but, you know, that'll change in time too, right?
Right.
But that was really impressive to me. And that's where we first met. I don't remember exactly why I was there. Maybe Ron had invited me.
Sure. Maybe.
And we sat at the same table. But I don't think there was a female on the board back then. No, wait. I bet you there was from...
I think Nancy Slotin has been on the board because she was the president one time. So she's maybe like an honorary. I can't remember the title that they use for that. But yeah,
Nancy. And now it's you and Brittany and Nancy. Am I missing anybody?
Sally Miscavige is our current president. Yep. And she's with OP Construction and she's fantastic.
So that's awesome. How has that changed your annual meetings, by the way?
It's more fun, of course. I don't know. I think the meetings are still – I love going to the AGC meetings. It's like the best group of people and the stories that get told year after year. You just don't get sick of them. But, you know, I think the more things have come to light and we've – Brittany, she's on the board because she started the North Dakota Construction Leadership Council. And, you know, we've kind of got some good juju going right now. It's good vibes and I think it's – that's the atmosphere we need to have, you know, to be more welcoming to different sets of people.
And what's your role in the Leadership Council?
I'm on the subcommittee for like networking and membership, I think. We just had our first event last night in West Fargo at the Lights Ice Skating Rink, and it was pretty fun. It was a good event and went well, but. Yeah, when it goes going back to the board, I think that just the last 5 years, things have really changed and in the right direction. We were named the small chapter of the year from National AGC, and that's a big deal. And it's because we've got a diverse board, which means we've got a few women and mostly guys. But, you know, I'm open about myself, too. I'm gay on the board and open about that. I'm married to another woman, Alexa, and being accepted in that way has been outstanding. You know, I think I have to give ourselves props here in North Dakota for how I've been treated. I feel very lucky and, you know, I couldn't ask for a better experience.
You really are remarkable, Molly. You really, really are.
You make me feel good.
Oh, I just love you. It just, I mean, because what you just said, yeah, obviously these types of shows are global, right?
Yeah.
And I have listeners all over the planet, right?
Absolutely, of course.
But what you just said about, and North Dakota sometimes isn't.
Right.
I have my arms spread out, right?
Yep.
And so I just love you, proud of you, and you're going to have your first baby when?
Well, the due date is May 10th, and yeah, it's coming really quick.
Oh, hey, do you have any more spots open on the board?
Yeah, I think we do have a few spots on the board. Yeah, my wife.
I'll take two.
All right, you got two.
Okay.
We'll put you down.
You put in wherever.
Okay.
You know.
I'll make a note of that.
Yeah, I'll take two.
Yeah, parenting. Do you have any advice?
Actually, I do. You know, first of all people are gifts from God. That's something you might not know about me. That's how I'm structured.
Mm-hmm.
And they're precious and they come into the world so dependent and so vulnerable. And in fact, I'm just reading a book, by the way, about a young woman that came into the world with no legs and no arms and her family abandoned her at the hospital and said, why don't you just let her sit in the room and die? And they called up this woman and her husband that were foster parents and always wanted kids that didn't have health problems. And everyone, and they've taken in about 90 during their lifetime. Every one of them have had challenges, right? And well, I'm going off the rails here.
Keep going.
And from this book, she talks about how each child is so precious, so dependent, And their life and the trajectory of their life is really set first in the womb. But when they come out, they know. It doesn't take them very long to understand that this person loves them. And by the way, it takes a while before a newborn can ever shed a tear. And when they start shedding tears, that becomes even a more incredible time where our love has to be first and foremost for them, right?
Yeah.
And I think you're going to be just fine, because in your email to me, Molly, you gave so much credit and praise to your mother and father. I'm paraphrasing what you said. You pretty much said, if I can be the kind of parents my parents were, that's what I want to be. And I said, this kid's going to just have a great mom and dad. I mean, there you go. A mom and mom. Well, however the hell you say it.
Yeah, mom and mom. Good job.
Yeah, so I think you're going to be just fine.
Well, that makes me feel somewhat comforted. Thank you.
Yeah. And I'm the father of two daughters and love them both. They're talented, pretty, and smart, and I'm very protective. And they have great moms, and just keep being you, and everything's going to be fine. And Alexa, keep being Alexa.
We'll be in good shape.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
And thanks for asking me, by the way. I appreciate that.
Well, I've seen, you know, you've mentioned we've kind of kept track of each other on social media, and I've seen you post about your daughters and how proud you are of them, and they just seem like they're on two very different people, but so cool as well. I think you're going to have one on the show. I'm really excited about that.
And she's next, by the way.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
Lindsay is. Awesome. Yeah. So, Molly, I have incredible women in my life that were strong, resolute, smart, and sometimes really, really tough. You know, from my mother or my grandmother.
Yeah,
That's a whole story for another time. My sisters, my wife, my daughters. I'm drawn to strong women that also are like you. You've got balance. Your priorities and right perspective and alignment. From my perspective, mm-hmm. which means you're really a healthy person, and that means you care about sustainability, people, the environment, all that stuff that's really, really important. And I suspect a lot of that's from your folks as well. And so Swanson Equipment, it's the employees, the team, the customers, the community of where you are. They're in good hands, Molly.
I appreciate that. You know, doubt always comes in, but I really do appreciate those kind words, and I don't mean to just be asking for approval or encouragement, but it does mean a lot, you know, and it does a lot of how I behave and act is from my parents, and I just have the most respect for them. Yeah.
So in addition to your responsibilities at Swanston, mm-hmm. the board involvement that's part of your life, whether it's Association of General Contractors or the zoo, right?
Yeah, I am on the board of the zoo.
So tell me how you see that responsibility from you personally, why it's you personally, but also your company, how that should be impacting the community and those organizations.
I don't know if I understand the question. You're asking, could you say it again?
How do you see, let me just put it this way. Why did you get involved, mm-hmm. and what kind of difference do you want to make as a result of your involvement?
Well, I think number one, a baseline about, I'm just a social person. I really get my cup filled when I'm around people and even connecting people. I just get a lot out of being in person with other groups of people. COVID's been hard about that, but when I first came back to Fargo and started working for the company, one of the first things I did was attend an AGC meeting with my dad. He made a big point about how, you know, you're not a contractor. And granted, this is the Association of General Contractors, but these are your customers and you should understand their needs, what they're going after, what they're fighting for at the legislative level. You know, understand their pains and their struggles so that you can help that. You need to be in the trenches with them. And AGC is a great place to do that, to gain understanding of the customer base and be there for them, you know. And it's just, we've gone on about the AGC, but I love it there. And I find that it's a great benefit to us as a company, but just me personally, some of my best friends are a part of that group too. And I just enjoy it. Being a part of the zoo, that's new for me. We've always had, or I shouldn't say always, but maybe for the last 5-7 years, we've had someone from Swanston Equipment on the board. And I wanted to take a swing at it next. I personally love the zoo, and I love going there with Alexa. We plan on taking our kid there a lot, and I think it's a really important piece in the community and one that I can help out with, because whether it's project-focused, I deal with customers all the time that do work that the zoo needs help with, and if I can be a connection point, then that's not hard to do. You know, I that fills my cup doing that. It's a selfish thing.
Do you have a, what do they call it here? Breakfast with the animals at your zoo?
I don't think so, but that sounds like a good idea.
Do it. And I might not have referred to it correctly, but at our zoo, except not in the winters, our zoo, when it's nice, it's, I can't remember if it's every Saturday or not. Please forgive me. But there was this event, Breakfast with the Animals. And you would come, and there, you know, pancakes, eggs, all that kind of thing.
Yep.
And you do the whole deal, walk around, see the animals, all that kind
cool.
of thing. And it was just so, and I think it was partly a fundraiser too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're always looking for ways for people to help them because zoos are expensive to run.
They are. I'm finding this out. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I mean, big animals eat a lot.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
And nothing's cheap.
Yeah. I was just actually hanging out with the zoo director last night, Sally Jacobson, and I connected her with Sally Miscavige from Op Construction, because Sally's working on a children's museum up in Grand Forks. She's kind of getting things rolling, and she's really good at just gathering people and making ideas come to life. And so she's really into zoos, and for this children's museum, they're going to implement a kid board, an advisory board just made up solely of children to get perspective. And I think the zoo might implement that idea now too, because you think cool. about who this is for, and adults have all these great ideas, but you know, kids do too, and they should have a little more say sometimes. But that was a fun connection last night.
So now I'm going to use our questions to start getting towards the last two questions I'll ask you, the magic wand questions.
Okay.
And I'm going to use the book, Unpublished, The Magic Wand,
yep.
as in. And the chapters are money, discipline, habits, character, goals, leaders or learners. And as I looked at what I had written, I was really drawn, again, back to the email you had sent me, in the chapter about character. And character is so important. And that's where I had written about my father's advice that to have good character, you have to know yourself well. And that's where he started talking about taking this personal inventory, strengths and limitations. Who are some of the people in your life that if you said, that's a person of great character? Now, can't mention your folks. Who are some people that you've observed and said, I've just learned something from them because how they've held themselves in public, how they've demonstrated their leadership skills? Who are some of those folks that are important to you?
You know, my brain directly goes to people that are close to me. I mean, I consider Brittany Diedrich, a close friend and someone, she's younger than me, but incredibly smart and does the right thing, even when it's hard. And I have...
Say that again. That's really important. She does the right thing even when it's...
Hard.
Hard. That's important.
Yep. So, yeah, I look up to her in that way.
I'm going to interrupt you, by the way.
Yeah.
Had I not put some constraints on you, would you have said your folks first?
For sure.
Yeah.
100%.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Not everybody can say that, Molly.
Yeah. Well, and that, you know, it's hard. I could go into like celebrities I admire, but or people in the community, but you know, I try to surround myself with people I really respect. So it tends to be people that are close to me that I think of when you ask that question. And my parents are number one, and I've spoken about them enough. People are going to think I'm like obsessed or something weird that we have this too close relationship.
No, Molly, when I used to run the radio broadcasting company and was responsible for most of the hiring and interviewing, I can't remember where I learned this question, but one of the questions was, who is your hero? And a lot of times people would mention a celebrity, somebody they don't even really know. Mm-hmm. The people that would say their mother or their father, their grandparents, somebody in their immediate life, and then explain to me why, and I didn't even necessarily ask, that, of course, really came to the top.
Right.
Because it's easy, by the way, because of media and celebrity and now social media, to look at other people you don't even really know, right? And they doesn't mean they haven't done great things. And that's why I said not everybody can say their mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, right? So I took the constraints off, and now we know.
Yeah.
Said that first.
They're number one for sure. My grandparents too. I'm just lucky. I'm so lucky. I have a really family that I think is cool. You know, I really do. I think my parents are cool. It's like this weird thing with my friends.
One of the other chapters is leaders are learners, and leaders are they're learning forever, right? And I mentioned this kind of early on, and you even mentioned in your email your curiosity. You want to know about people. You want to learn about things. And earlier you also said that your father, when you were at AGC, now you're not a contractor, but these contractors, your customers, you need to know about them. You need to be curious. You need to know mm-hmm. what their pains are. Is that where you essentially learned the value of curiosity from, again, your folks?
Yeah, my dad has just drilled that into me, the importance of curiosity. And I've seen and felt the benefit of being curious. It just opens up so many doors of, you know, when you're curious about people and they get to tell their story and the connection that can happen is so powerful. And I'm curious about myself too. That's, you know, taking inventory, like you said, you have to be curious about yourself constantly and what you're doing. And I think curiosity is really a North Star for me.
Absolutely.
It's something I'm trying to work on. You'd be more curious, ask more questions. And yeah, I find it powerful.
Okay, you're almost going to have to put yourself in some kind of a lotus position and close your eyes and some kind of mantra, because here's the magic wand question.
Okay.
The first one is, if you had a magic wand that you could wave over the heads of aspiring female leaders that are largely in male-dominated industries or situations, what's the one thing you'd really like them to know?
That they can do it.
Perfect.
That they should do it.
Good. We don't have to, that's it.
That's so it.
The second one, this one might take a little bit more thought.
Okay.
Young leaders in family, legacy or heritage family businesses, what's the one thing you want them to know?
That it's important for them to be their authentic self, You don't have to chase the person that was there before you or be that person that was there before you. You have to, being yourself is the best way to lead, I think, not only in a family business, but anywhere. Is authenticity is a big deal.
If I said Gene Krupa, would that mean anything to you?
No, I'm sorry.
You'd probably have to ask your grandpa. He was one of the first great drummers.
Oh, okay.
Gene Krupa.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when they had just the bass, the snare. You know, that was pretty much it, right?
I want you to send me a list of your top faves. Can we get a little email chain going back and forth of recommendations? Because
oh, sure.
I need to like up my Spotify game here a little bit.
Okay.
Expose myself to some new people.
Okay, so I got to say a few things here.
Okay.
Hey, Molly, first of all, thank you so much for being willing to come on, and thank you for being so authentic and real. You just shared a lot of great information. Love you. Appreciate you so much.
Appreciate you, Mike. I really am grateful for the opportunity.
You bet. So I need to thank, in addition to Molly, Anna DeVere, president of Q1 Network. Anna signed off on this project, and she oversees its progress. Ashley Harris. Ashley helped with the website development. Bo Hastings. Bo set up the web hosting, DNS, and email. Marlo Anderson. First of all, he's the National Day Calendar guy. In fact, we're in a place the other day having coffee, and I'm talking to somebody, and she knows me. She looks over, and she said, "Is that the National Day Calendar guy?" That's Marlo. He's a visionary. He's helped put all this together, and a good friend. And then my wife, Deb. She orchestrates all of this for me. I mean, I got nothing without her. She's an incredible wife and partner and friend. So this episode, we're going to call it Man's Job, Hold My Craft Beer. It's in the can. hermetically sealed. Easily retrievable at mikeseminary.com, on Facebook at Mike Seminary and Friends. We're also now on these platforms, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple, Spotify, Audible, Google. What do you think of that, Molly? That's growing.
Yeah, this is a big deal. I'm going to listen on all those platforms.
So, and by the way, one of the reasons I talked to Molly today, got to get her on, and she's thinking about it.
We got to get Molly Barnes on. I'll help out with that deal. I'll tell her she has to.
Oh, I think she will.
Yeah.
She took my call, you know, on the spot. I might have been interrupting something. You know, I should probably interview Brittany too.
I think you should.
I don't. Is that how she related to Eric?
She's Eric's cousin.
Cousin.
So she's Ellen Diedrich's daughter.
Oh, the painting instructor I'm supposed to be learning from, and I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, you might want to do that first before you have her on.
So what's the last thing you want people to know, Molly?
Oh, the last thing I want people to know is just let's stay positive. This is a tough time, but we got this. It's going to be okay.
It is. Oh, yeah. Maple Log. When I was at Maple Log, this was before you were born. Maple Log, if I'm not mistaken, they had two different either hot tubs or saunas, or maybe even both. One where clothes were not required, and then one that was. And if I'm not mistaken, well, I'm not going to say anymore, but did they still do that?
So I'll just say this. I think clothes are required. They do have a hot tub. They claim it's the largest hot tub in Minnesota, but I don't know if that's true. Maple Log is a magical place, and that's something I should leave everyone with, is if you have any interest in getting outside and cross-country skiing, you have to check out Maple Log.
Maple Log. Yeah, it's a great place. So until we chat again, love y'all.
Post and read comments at Mike's Instagram or Facebook accounts, or of course, over at mikeseminary.com. Thank you for listening.